To Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery here at republicbroadcasting.org. And, this fighting is supposed to start back up in Gaza. And after this short 6-day so-called truce, I'm kind of wondering, fighting? I've not really seen a whole lot of fighting. I've seen a lot of destruction, but I don't think it's only been on one side. I mean, it's hardly any fighting. It's hard to say that you're fighting when you have an AK-47 against a Navy and an Air Force and Army and sophisticated weapons, and all you've got is AK-47. And some pipe rockets, homemade pipe rockets. That's a pretty sad war. And I am really troubled that Israel can force America to pull its Navy also to the Middle East. Two aircraft carrier, the most largest and most sophisticated, powerful aircraft carriers in the world, and their assistant fleet that accompanies them, submarines and destroyers and all these high-tech naval vessels also are included in this in these aircraft carriers. So, I was looking at the news today, and it says here that, I'm going to tell you what the theme of my show today is that the world has already been conquered. It's been conquered by Antichrist banking cartel, that a global Antichrist banking cartel has already conquered the world. It has conquered England and most all of Europe and the United States. And that's why all the nations of the world are standing around watching Israel. Not only standing around, we're being forced into the conflict. Our military in the United States is being used to go over into the Middle East and to assure everybody sit still while we all watch Israel destroy Gaza completely. That's really what we're looking at. And I can prove it with the news today. I'm looking at an ABC News article, and the title of it, U.S. Warns Israel to Fight in a More Targeted Way in Gaza, officials say. Now, this was written, that's the title of the article. It came out 2 days ago at 4:45 p.m. It was written by Selena Wang and Cheyenne Hazlett. Now, it says here, the U.S. is warning Israel to fight in a more targeted way once the pause ends, in order to avoid displacing more Palestinians and worsening the humanitarian crisis, senior administration officials say. Okay, it says here, they're quoting these officials, and they say, quote, "You cannot have the sort of scale of displacement that took place in the North replicated in the South," unquote, the senior administration official said on the call. Quote, "It can't happen, which means that the manner of the campaign has to be extremely carefully thought through to minimize the consequences of further significant displacement," unquote. Okay, well, and then it says here, the Biden administration has strongly backed Israel in its right to defend itself and in Israel's stated mission to eradicate Hamas terrorists in response to the October 7 attack. Okay, but the mounting criticism over the unfolding humanitarian crisis in Gaza under Israel's offensive, the Biden administration has been steadily increasing its warnings to Israeli officials about restraining their military operations, and the latest statements from the U.S. officials mark some of the most forceful warnings yet. Okay, well, and I'm going to skip down here a little ways because I want to see what they said here. Well, I'll just tell you what I was looking for. It said 1.7 million Gazans have already been displaced. And that's a terrible number of people, 1.7 million people displaced. Now, we've heard these warnings from America. We're going to see how tough this is, how strong this is. Here we go. Now, this next article I'm looking at is came out 1 hour ago. It's Fox News. It's White House quietly walks back Biden's comment on adding conditions for sending assistance to Israel. The White House, and I'm quoting from the article now, this story is by Lawrence Richard. Okay, and it says here, quote, "The White House is not seeking to place conditions on U.S. military assistance to Israel." The White House clarified this week, despite President Biden suggesting days earlier that the U.S. would consider doing so. Okay, well, so much for tough United States. And, you know, why is that, that we can't get tough with Israel? I'll tell you why. Because it is the capital of the Antichrist banking, global banking cartel. The same people that created Israel unlawfully are the same people that control the Antichrist global banking cartel. That means it issues credit. If this banking cartel does not issue credit to the United States of America, Americans won't have any money anymore, because that green stuff, that paper stuff we deal with, is not money. It's just credit. It's IOUs. It's debt stuff. We borrow that. We borrow our currency from the global Antichrist banking cartel. So, and the same applies to Great Britain and all of Europe. That's why these countries are just sitting around watching Israel destroy Gaza. And hey, if they decide to destroy you, the rest of the world will sit around and watch that too. Well, now let's see how scared old Netanyahu is from these so-called threats that evaporated so quickly. And what are they talking about in so-called Congress of our overthrown government? We really don't have a government of the American people. What we have is a people-controlling entity controlled by our unlawful conquerors, that we were conquered through the unlawful banking cartel and our unlawful currency against the Constitution. And so here it comes. I'm reading a little something here from the station. Okay, I got it. It says here, this next article I'm looking at is, let's see, it's from Al Jazeera English, and this came out today, and that was this morning, and it's almost 3 minutes long, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this for the audience to hear this, and I'll give a link to this audio video track in my summary. So first let me go and share the computer sound. Okay, start sharing and then go back and pick this up. Okay, here we go. And this came out just this morning. Here it is.
For now, the guns of war are quiet. Israeli soldiers picnic on tanks and bask in the last of the year's fading warmth. Before them lie the ruins they've made of Gaza, the scorched rubble of 48 days of destruction. But everyone knows Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli military are not finished yet. This much has been said repeatedly when he visited troops in Gaza over the weekend and again on Wednesday.
In the last few days, I hear a question. After this phase of returning our abductees, will Israel return to fighting? So my answer is an unequivocal yes. There is no way we are not going to go back to fighting until the end. This is my policy. The entire cabinet stands behind it. The entire government stands behind it. The soldiers stand behind it, and the people stand behind it.
Everyone is...
I'd like to interject here. Again, he says going back to fighting. I don't think there's any fighting going on. What he's really saying is we're going back to this complete destruction of Gaza. We're going back to destroying Gaza. Now, obviously, they're not destroying every person they see, but they're going to make sure that there's no building two stories tall in Gaza. So they're going to destroy essentially every usable building in Gaza. That's what it looks like is going on here. So let's continue with this.
Is making what they can of the lull. Gaza's dazed civilians search for who and what has survived. Hamas and the Israeli military are preparing for the fighting to come.
Israel's defense minister, Yoav Gallant, has said that once the captive exchanges are done, the war will resume, as he put it, with intensity, and that at least 2 months more fighting is expected.
Well, you know, I believe that this is I believe that Gaza is already completely conquered. You can't look at that place and say that there's any fighting going on. There's nothing, this video shows numerous tanks all close together, and nothing but rubble everywhere. To act like there's really fighting, they haven't shown a video yet in all this of any resistance to the Israeli military completely destroying Gaza. So let's continue.
Andreas Krieg is a defense analyst at the School of Security Studies, King's College London. He explained to me what shape the next phase of this war might take.
The more intense fighting is most likely just around the corner for the IDF. And so I think they would probably start seizing Gaza City over ground. Then they will have to decide whether they will immediately shift focus towards the south and Khan Yunis, or whether they are going to go after the tunnels. I suspect they will probably not go after the tunnels and just try to smoke them out.
Little of this is good news for Gaza's civilians. 80% of Gaza's population has displaced, most to the south. An estimated 14,000 Palestinians have been killed already. The US still backs Israel, but there are signs the pace of killing is making even the White House uneasy.
Quite frankly, we continue to urge and will continue to urge the Israelis as they conduct military operations to do so with the utmost care for innocent civilian life.
Israel knows the support it has from Western allies is waning, but domestically it must show that its military objectives are being achieved. Anything less than destroying Hamas could be seen as failure, and Gaza's civilians will continue paying the price. Rory Challens, Al Jazeera, occupied East Jerusalem.
Make sure to subscribe to...
Well, there you've heard it. And, you know, I mean, that's just... it's just horrendous. If you see this video, the tanks and the rubble, and you know, there's no resistance. I mean, if there was, you know, this is not like Russia and the Ukraine. You know, Russia and the Ukraine, they both have significant firepower. You know, Antichrist banking cartel, global banking cartel, is funding the Ukraine, funding whatever his name is, that's the one that's challenging Russia for the eastern, for the western part of the Ukraine, and that's where you can actually see some resistance going on from each side, but there's no resistance going on in Gaza. This is just a total destruction of a section called Gaza. And like I say, the world is not doing anything about it. They can't control this guy, Netanyahu. And the proof, I believe, is pretty obvious that they've taken over the Western world. And they've done it, you know, what are the most significant things that control people? And that's what we're talking about. People control is about, is what this is all about. Now, you can do it through what? The monetary system, which... the Antichrist state of Israel has done, and the Antichrist that supports Israel and created Israel. And when I say Antichrist, I'm referring to people that do not believe that Christ Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Savior of mankind. And that is the modern, the people that call themselves Jews, but reject the King of the Jews. So that's really what they are. They are Antichrist by very definition of the New Testament. And since their homeland is for the Jews, it means the homeland for the Antichrist. So and they control these nations through their banking system, which really got its major start with the Rothschild banking empire that pretty much conquered France and Germany and the UK before it conquered America, the United States. But there's another thing that controls people, and that's Christianity. But Christianity cannot control people if they do not. And it's not that it controls it; it's just the ideas. The ideas motivate people. If you get into the kingdom of heaven, which Christ brought with him, he brought the kingdom of heaven that men can get in through the doorway he created in his death, resurrection, and ascension. Well, that makes strong people. That makes people that says, you know, that's immoral. You shouldn't be doing that. And really stick up for it and say, we're not going to support you in any way. And even if you take our credit away, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to serve God. And you're not serving God. You are violating all the principles of God. And really, if you look at the Jews, actually, these people that call themselves Jews but reject the King of the Jews, these people are heretics. You could call them heretics in a way, because what theology is about is about Jesus Christ. That's really what theology is. Theology is the study of the God, Jesus Christ. And he is fully God and fully man. So when you say theology, you're really talking about Jesus Christ, the study and learning and the principles of Christ Jesus and what he brought. Well, now the Jews are heretics because they deny that Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of mankind. Now we have other heretics, and those heretics call themselves evangelicals. And what do they do? Now, they don't deny that Christ came to the world, the Savior of mankind, and that he died on a cross, and that he was buried and dead, and that he was resurrected, and even that he ascended. But what they deny is the affect of his works on the world and on the people. What the effects was is that everything in the cosmos was in the body of Christ Jesus, because Christ contained God, and God contains all things. So when Christ died, the entire cosmos died. And when he was resurrected, the entire cosmos was resurrected. And when he ascended, he took the galaxies to the highest heavens. So there's not one single thing in the cosmos that has not really been operated on by the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ Jesus. But if you reject the idea that this took place and it was only a personal thing, a proof of deity, then there's no power in it. It doesn't have any effect on anything around you or even yourself. So this is what the evangelicals have done. They've said they deny the kingdom. So both of these groups, those that call themselves Jews but deny the King of the Jews, they deny the existence of the kingdom of heaven on earth right now, and so do the evangelicals. So they are together in their rejection and denial of the kingdom of heaven on earth at this time. Well, I've just got some bad news for both of these groups. They are in error, and I am a witness to it, and I have been witnessing to that for a long time on this show. I am in the kingdom of heaven, and I know how I got here. And I'm going to read just a few little scriptures here to prove even what I'm saying. John chapter 12, verse 26 says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Where I am, listen to that. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. Well, where is he right now? Jesus Christ is sitting in the throne in the heavens above at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Now let's read John chapter 14, verse 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Okay, well, this obviously refers to coming again when he says, "I will come again." Well, that means after his death, he was coming again. Sure, that's right. "And receive you where he's at that time, then you'll have a glorified body." But let me assure you, the next one I'm going to read, the next verse, also backs up the first one I read, which this applies to right now. And Ephesians 6 also refers to right now. And so let's read this, John 17, verse 24. "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. God loved the Son before the creation of the world. And he's praying to the Father that we be with him right now while we walk the earth where he is. And, of course, Ephesians 6 talks about sitting down with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, not in future tense, but in past tense. Thanks be to God that he saved us and raised us up to sit in the heavenly places with him. Now, I'm just paraphrasing that. It's not in front of me, but you can look it up, Ephesians 2, 6. Well, and so that really means, there was one more that I wanted to read here, too. And that's from Revelations. And this is Revelations chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh, I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So this is Jesus talking several times, asking the Father and declaring what happens to people that love him and recognize what he has done to the entire world. He has opened the door to the kingdom of heaven that all can go in while they yet walk the earth through his death, resurrection, and ascension to even sit down. Now, if you're going to be with him where he's at, where is he? He's literally in the throne. Well, that's where you are. That's where you are as well. You're in the throne. You see the power in that? And what does St. Paul tell Timothy, warn the church of, to stay away from people that have the look of godliness, but deny the power thereof? And what is the power thereof? The power of it is to be in the throne of God. That's amazing, isn't it? Wouldn't that be pretty powerful? Compared to all the junk that they peddle in church these days? And we wonder why the church, why people are leaving the church in a great exodus. Because they're not giving it, they're not declaring anything, they're not propagating the gospel, they're not giving the good news of the existence of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven on earth, and they even deny the existence of it and tell everybody that it's coming with Jesus on his second coming. He's going to set up a civil government that's going to exist for 1,000 years until Satan raises an army and surrounds them and makes war against them. That's not the kingdom of heaven. That's not the kingdom of God. That's not even ever going to exist. That's a civil government. And nothing survives the return. No Antichrist survives the return of Christ Jesus to the earth. Because Scripture says very clearly that it destroys everything. With the brightness of his coming, everything that doesn't believe in him. Anyway, we got to take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk,
real people, because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back to Search for Lawful Government, here with Ron Avery at republicbroadcasting.org. Well, I want to remind everybody that this is my last Tuesday and Thursday show at RBN. Next week, we start the new schedules, so I will not be here Tuesday and Thursday of next week. I will be next week on Friday. From 4 to 6 p.m. So I'll have a two-hour show every Friday starting next week. And so I won't do that tomorrow. It'll be next week. So you won't hear me again on this show until next Friday week. So anyway, after that, I wanted to talk about some definitions here, like what, you know, they throw these terms around like terrorist, like Netanyahu calls Hamas a terrorist group. Well, I kind of take, I'm not so sure that that's the right definition for what we're seeing. You know, words are really important. Let's look at what terrorism is. It's the use of violence, real, threatened, or pretended, to alter public policy or the law. Now, let's look at Hamas. Well, did Hamas do violence to alter public policy or the law? Public policy, yeah, and the law. Was there a law that kept these people in a compound next to Ithaca, trapped between the ocean or whatever that is, the Mediterranean and Israel? So what is the would that be just some act of defense of their compounding being jailed? I mean, I just don't think that's the right term for these people. Rarely is an act of terrorism done by the party blamed for it. And we're going to see why that is. Here's an example. Let's take 9/11/01, the terrorist attack upon America, supposedly done by the Taliban or cave-dwelling Afghans under the direction of Osama bin Laden. Now, what was the object of this? The object was to get the United States. Let's just pretend then that this was accurate, that these people were, that these were terrorists. Okay, the object was to get, could they have not figured out this? Because the object, the result of this was that the United States altered its policy of non-intervention or nation building to use its military to attack and occupy much of the Middle East and overthrow nations there. Okay. The means to obtain the object was to destroy the World Trade Center and the tallest buildings in America and destroy part of the Pentagon as an act of war against the American military using hijacked passenger jets. Well, okay, another one. Why does the object of terrorism not align with the object those blamed for the attack? I mean, can we seriously consider that the object of the Afghan cave dwellers was to excite the American military to destroy their own homelands? Did they actually have in their wildest imagination that they could destroy some buildings in America and not have their own countries overthrown by the most powerful country on earth? Couldn't Sherlock Holmes figure out that maybe these people weren't thinking about that couldn't have been their object? Well, that's why the object of the terrorism does not fit with these people. We have to look around for another object of terrorism or a different group whose object that would be in line with. Okay. Again, why would the Taliban cave dwellers want the most powerful nation on earth to attack their nation and conquer it and set up a puppet government replacing the Taliban. What, I mean, I don't think cave dwellers are even that stupid. I don't think cave dwellers can be that dumb. So what nation on earth would benefit from the alteration of the non-intervention policy in the Middle East? Is it not Israel amid Arabic nations that sympathize with the Palestinians who had all their land stolen by those who call themselves Jews but deny the King of the Jews, the Antichrist? Well, I think that pretty much sums it up. So we can't, the Taliban could not be called really accurately terrorist. It had to be some other group who was seeking the object of the correct change that they wanted by doing what they designed to do. Well, anyway, I see we have a caller, Nancy from California. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. Glad you called. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I don't think you get a lot of callers because you don't have people disagreeing and they don't want to interfere and stop your because you're not on that long. So what I would say is that these are not God's chosen people. God's chosen people would love their neighbor. I mean, love is the greatest commandment. They would turn the other cheek. They would they wouldn't be coveting their land. They would be so different. And these people that call themselves Israel have usurped a name that belongs to 12 tribes of Israel, not just one little puny tribe of Judah that was responsible for Christ's death.
Yes, Israel is like the true Jew. You see, this is why they're lying. The better name for these people that call themselves Jews and reject Christ Jesus as King of the Jews is liars. And the Antichrist. Those are the actual definitions of the people in modern theology and Christian theology, not Jews. Because why? Because the people that accept Christ Jesus as the King and Savior and are altered by his operation, these are the real Jews. Those are the Jews. So I'm not comfortable with even calling these people Jews, because that's one of the biggest lies ever told. They're not Jews, because you can't be a Jew after the appearance of Christ. You can't be a Jew by bloodline alone. That's not good enough. It won't work. And the same thing applies to Israel. The new Israel are Christians. That's what Israel is.
Yep, those were the Jews, if, you know, that's even a word that was used back then. Those were the people who followed Christ. They converted to Christianity.
Yes, and they did begin to use the term Jew in the New Testament in a derogatory manner, and they were being persecuted by the Jews even in the New Testament. But I, St. Paul and Jesus himself refers to a true Jew and what it is. And both of them indicate that a real Jew is one that believes in Christ Jesus and has been operated upon by him. So I'm not going to give those people the name Jew. They don't deserve the name Jew, nor the term Israel. None of that applies to them. These people are liars, and that's even the first lie they have, to tell you they're Jews and that they are Israel. Both of those are lies.
There's nothing wrong with calling them Jews, because it was the Pharisees, and those actually were really the king of the Jews, you know, the Jews that followed them and perverted the ways of Christ. There's nothing special about being called a Jew. I mean, Jews are the Pharisees and the ones who rejected Christ. They were the ones that were killing the early Christians. So I wouldn't even protect that name, because it has too much importance in our world today for it to be sanctified.
As long as you call them Jews, though, they already have you. They've already locked up because they go into what God had promised the Jewish people and all of that. But that was all Old Testament stuff, and all of it was answered by Christ Jesus. He provided all of that stuff.
He didn't promise the Jews. He didn't promise the Jews. He promised Israel.
It's the same thing. I mean, we're talking Jews, Israel. It's the people. One is the people.
It's one small fraction of the truth. It's 1/12 part of, if that's even correct. Like I said, there are 12 tribes of Israel, so they have claimed this name that doesn't just belong to them. I think we're kind of going in circles. I think maybe we're both saying the same thing but not understanding each other.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, Nancy, anything else you'd like to add?
No. I really appreciate your program. Thank you for everything you're saying.
Well, thank you, Nancy. I'm glad you called. I appreciate that. All right. All right. Layla from Canada, you're up next.
Thank you, Ron.
First of all, may I ask you, am I pronouncing your name correctly? Because I see it spelled a little differently than I think I'm saying it. How do you pronounce your first name?
It's a very old name, and its original meaning, it's Le'ilah. So it means dedicated to or from or for God.
Le'ilah.
So in English, it would
Le'ilah?
Be depending
Is that what you're saying? Le'ilah?
Yeah, it should be pronounced Le'ilah. Many people give it an anachronistic name. They think that it's in Hebrew, Laila, and it means night. And in some Arab dialects will say it's Layla, meaning night. But Layla in Arabic, in all of the dialects, does not have the ya sound. It's only Layla. So
Layla.
The actual name Layla is a name, and it means dedicated to God.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think you are. I think you are. So that your name fits. Go ahead.
I feel as though I'm trying to live up to it, yes.
Yes, it's a bit of a job, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, it's very difficult in this world.
It is.
I wanted to point out that when God appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai, there was no Israel and there was no Judah. Those provinces or kingdoms did not exist. It was to the tribe of Levi. And that is who Aharon and Moses, by the way, is an Egyptian name. In Hebrew, they try to mean, it means drawn out of water. But actually, if you look at Ramesses and Christmas, that's where the name Christmas comes from.
Uh-huh.
Born, Christ is born. Christmas or Mises, depending on the conjugation of the verb, to be born, that means that he was born, and whether, you know, who knows what other meanings they give it. But I wanted to point out that being chosen was not a gift. It was a responsibility. When God told Moses, I have chosen you in the Old Testament, I'm sure you know this, he was telling them that this was a responsibility. They had to take the word of God to the people. That's why it's called a covenant. I will make you a great nation of the world, but you must enlighten them about the meaning of what I'm teaching you. And that was where the Ten Commandments came from. That was just the most basic rules. Don't murder, and God knows if you violate one of the commandments, you've violated them all. And we're watching Israel today. That I won't even go into the name Israel. It was given to Jacob, Yaqub, when he was on his way to take an Aramaic wife from his first cousin in Padan Aram or Haran. So that was when he had a dream that he wrestled with an angel of God.
But I remember.
That's all in the Old Testament. But
yes.
The covenant, the being chosen, is not a gift. They failed, and that's why they were cursed by God. because they failed to fulfill their share of the responsibility to live up to those Ten Commandments at minimum.
So nobody could. That was the whole purpose of the Ten Commandments, was to show that mankind cannot meet those requirements. They fail every time. So we needed a savior, because the law was what brought sin and death. We wouldn't have known those things without the law. So when we broke the law, we discovered sin and death, and then we needed a savior.
That's why you're right, absolutely. When God saw that the people could not live up to those, then he sent his son. He came down in the form of Jesus to show that it can, that humans can live up to those Ten Commandments. Jesus
only through Christ. Through Christ
only
do
through
we
Christ,
do that.
I agree.
He was the only one. It was Jesus was the only one that actually conformed to the law and fulfilled all the law. It certainly wasn't any of the rest of us.
no one else.
I'm sorry, Layla. Hang on, we got to take a break. I wasn't watching. We'll be right back after this.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
We'll be right back.
welcome back to the last segment for the wrap-up of Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery at republicbroadcasting.org. We have Leela on the phone, and did you want to finish up,
Leela? Yeah, I just wanted to summarize that when the people of Judah or Israel or whatever we want to call them, when they rejected Jesus, those who rejected him were forever doomed until they learned to accept Jesus.
Amen.
And that's my understanding, and I hope, do you think that is correct?
I think that's correct, yes. And I believe that's what brought the destruction of Jerusalem in those days, was that they failed to see the visitation of God in Christ Jesus. But, you know, the modern church today is making all these same errors that, I mean, Jesus brought the kingdom, and now the modern church denies the existence of the kingdom. Well, I'm having a hard time determining the difference between rejecting Jesus Christ and rejecting what he brought. I mean, it's a fine distinction there. But anyway, Leela, I thank you for your call. And
thank you, Ron. Thank you for your good work.
I appreciate you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, anyway, I hope you can see that I also wanted to say that Mark Anderson and I had a conversation the other day. And in fact, it was just yesterday. And some of his cohorts he works with in the U.K., are actually expressing the same thing about the UK that I have been about the United States. We have a dissolved government in the United States. It's not really ours. It's a method of controlling the people of the United States by people that have actually overthrown and unlawfully overthrown our government. The same thing has happened in the UK, and some of these people are beginning to express it in the same way. And this Israel thing, watching this, and in fact, the Ukraine in a little different way, but similar. These are evidences that the people of these nations don't control their own nations. They're being controlled by the Antichrist global banking cartel. They've taken over the money systems of these countries, and that's how they control these countries, is through their monetary system. But anyway, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next Friday at 4 o'clock. Thank you.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.